It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. It's also found in the New Testament when we look at Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. Jesus says this, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally as important, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. So that's the great command. We also hold on to the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Again, Jesus speaking here, right before he leaves earth, he has been resurrected from the dead and he's about to leave earth and he speaks to his disciples. And these are some of the last earthly words that he shares with them. And this is what he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So that's what's going to be happening today. We're going to baptize six individuals into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. These six candidates are Steve Feifeld, Josh Hill, Sybil, and her maiden name is Stephanie, and Sybil, what's your new married name? Did I get it backwards? So you guys aren't really married after all, if I put the slide on wrong, correct? Just kidding. Tegan Sauer, Chandler Eaton, and Chloe Valenzuela. Those are our six, five adults and one child. They are going to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Each one of us have a different background, a different life story, as do each of these candidates. They won't be able to hear or testify to every single thing that's brought them to this point this morning, but they all have different life stories, different experiences. But the one thing they have in common is a personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. That's what they have in common. Regardless of what the past has looked like, today that's the common thing that they have in a personal faith with Jesus. So if you're here as a guest today, or maybe you're here as a family member, I want to take a few moments to explain what we do for baptism. When we baptize someone here at Wenatchee First Assembly, we do baptism by immersion. Okay, we actually dunk a person in the water, and then we bring them back out again. And if you're new to church, all right, this might seem weird to you, okay? You might be like, well, I don't get this. That's not the way that I was baptized when I was young. Hey, if it's different for you, that's fine. No worries, okay? But for us here at Wenatchee First Assembly, this is normal to us because this is a part of our normal faith practice. We see it, we do it whenever we baptize by immersion. So before we go through with these wonderful celebrations with these six individuals, let me just explain a little bit of the beautiful significance and the symbolism behind what we're about to do, okay? As we read about the early church, as we read about them in the New Testament, the message that they proclaimed was that of a risen Jesus, a resurrected Jesus, one who had died on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. We know that he was placed into a tomb, and then 3 days later, he raised victoriously from the grave. And as he was raised from the grave, now he offers us forgiveness. He offers us hope. He offers us new life to all those who would believe in him. And the way that people identified with that message was through baptism. Throughout the New Testament, we see it time and time again. It will say, they believed and were baptized over and over again. Here's just a few examples I want to share with you, again, as a precedence for what we do. In Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching to the Jewish people in Jerusalem. It's the day of Pentecost, and he's speaking to this vast crowd, and he's telling them the message of Jesus, who Jesus is, what he's done, and he calls the people to repentance. And the Bible says that 3,000 people came to faith that day, and they turned from their sins and were baptized. Is that amazing? 3,000. We had a baptismal service in October. We baptized 3 individuals then. Today, we're baptizing 6 more. That's 9. On the birthday of the church, the day of Pentecost, in the book of Acts, 3,000 people came to faith, and they were baptized immediately after hearing about Jesus and believing in him. In Acts chapter 8, we read the story of Philip. He's living in Samaria. A lot of the apostles and disciples had to scatter from Jerusalem because of persecution, and he ended up in Samaria. And while he was there, he began teaching and preaching about Jesus. And as he ministered to people, there were these amazing miracles that were happening, physical miracles, and evil spirits were being cast out of people. And as a result, many people believed in the name of Jesus and were baptized. There was one individual particularly, a man named Simon. He was a sorcerer. Okay, and he had this great following of people who would follow him because they wanted to see him do his magic. Well, when Simon heard the good news of Jesus, it says that he set aside his sorcery and he immediately believed in Jesus and was baptized. One day he was a sorcerer, and the next day he was a follower of Jesus, signified by his baptism. Keep going through the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. There's a story of an Ethiopian eunuch, a very powerful man, and he's traveling in this chariot, and he's reading the scroll of Isaiah. I don't think I've ever read the Isaiah as I've been traveling in a car before, but that's what he's doing. He's going along, and he's reading the scroll of Isaiah, and as he's reading, he comes to this part where it says, the lamb was being led to the slaughter. And this Ethiopian eunuch didn't understand what that meant. And he said, how am I supposed to know the meaning behind this if there was only someone who could show me what this means? And Philip just so happened to be present. And Philip said, you know what? I can tell you exactly what that means. And so Philip began to share with him that this lamb who would be slaughtered was Jesus, that Jesus had come to die for his people to take away their sins. And so the Ethiopian eunuch, he's listening to this, and he's hearing this explanation of salvation and what Christ has done for us. And the eunuch responds to the good news of Jesus by saying this. They're traveling along, and he says, hey, look, there's some water right over there. What is keeping me from being baptized right now? So here, the word of God is being shown to him. He's understanding who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. He said, hey, I'm not going to delay. There's water right here. I want to get baptized right now. And the last example is in Acts chapter 9, where Saul, before he became the Apostle Paul, was on the road to Damascus. He was on his way there to persecute Christians. And while traveling, he meets Jesus in this powerful blinding light. And after the encounter, Saul had to be led by hand into the city because he was blinded. And the Bible says that he remained that way for 3 days until a man named Ananias came and he prayed over Saul. And after he prayed over Saul, Saul regained his sight and Saul believed in Jesus and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says that he immediately went and was baptized. Saul, he was a persecutor of the church. He wanted to wipe out those literally, giving permission for Christians to be killed because he did not believe in Jesus. But then he has this miraculous encounter with Jesus on this road. His life is transformed. God speaks to him. He surrenders his life to Jesus. Now he's gone from being a murderer to an apostle of the church, all because of that encounter. And he signified the change, what had happened by being baptized. It took a while for the Christians to kind of get okay with that because they knew him as the previous person that he was, but he was completely changed. And as many of us know, Paul became the main author of much of the New Testament that we read today, one of the heroes of our faith. What does the word baptized mean in Scripture? Well, it's actually a word that is transliterated. Let me explain. In the Greek language, they have this word baptizo, which sounds very familiar, doesn't it? It's similar to that, right? It literally means to immerse or to dunk. That's what baptize means. And so when they were translating the Bible into English, the translators were like, well, we don't have an English word for this symbolic act of someone going into water and being baptized. And so they ended up keeping the Greek word and transliterating it into baptize. So every time we see this word used in Scripture, that is what it means. It means to immerse or to dunk. And we follow that biblical example here that we see in the New Testament when we baptize believers as a profession of their faith. So let me share with you, if you have your notes, just quickly, I want to share with you three things that baptism represents, okay? Baptism represents, number one, cleansing. David writes this in Psalm chapter 51, verses 1 and 2. "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin." Fast forward to 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. It says, "But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we will have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness." Can you say amen? He is faithful and he is just. He will do that if we will call on his name. So when someone goes into the baptismal water and they come out, it represents this, that here is our sin, here is our guilt and our shame, and they are washed away through Christ's blood and through his sacrifice. That's that symbolism. It's how we are made clean. Well, some of you might say, well, I can just go home and take a bath. Can I just do that? That's an act of cleansing. True, and I encourage us all to do that from time to time. It's a good thing. Yes, that's a way of cleansing. But with baptism, it's different because in baptism, there is a baptismal candidate and there is a baptizer. There is someone there baptizing them. And this is a symbol of the fact that we cannot cleanse ourselves. We can't cleanse ourselves. We don't have the ability to cleanse ourselves from our sin. It's actually God through Christ who cleanses us from our sin. He's the one who's done this for us. He's done for us which we cannot do for ourselves. And so that's another symbolic moment that there is a baptizee and there's also someone baptizing them, right? Because we need God to do that work in our lives. That's the symbolism of that. Baptism is about cleansing. The second thing that we see represented in baptism is death to self. Point number two on your notes if you're looking. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 say this. "Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives." I want to read you that same portion of Scripture again, Romans chapter 6. But now I want to read it to you from the Message paraphrase. It's not going to be on the screen. I want you to listen to the way that the Message paraphrase puts that same verse. Listen to this. "This is what happens in baptism. When we went under the water, we left our old life of sin behind us, and it was buried. Then we came up out of the water and entered into a new life of grace. That's what happens into the life of, that's what happens in baptism into the life of Jesus, what it means. When we are lowered into the water, it's like the burial of Jesus. And when we are raised out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a new, forgiven life." Baptism is about death, about being buried into the death with Christ, into death with Christ. But here's the result. We get to come out of that into new life. We leave the old life behind, the old life of pride and guilt and shame and ignorance and all those kind of things. We leave it behind in the baptismal tank and we come out of the water. As a believer in Jesus, our old sinful nature is symbolically crucified or put to death with Christ showing us its reign over our life is done. Romans chapter 6, now verses 6 and 7. For we know that our old sinful lives were crucified with Christ so that sin may lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And one of my favorite verses, one of my life verses, is Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, where it says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. That's the life that I live. The third thing represented in baptism, point number three on your notes, is this: new life. New life. If you're taking notes, right next to new life, put another line and put new birth. New birth as well. Coming out of that baptismal water represents new life, new birth. I don't know if you know this or not, but every single one of us who were born into this world, we were born through water. Did you realize that? When we came into this world, we were born out of water and we came into new life. And in the same way, when a person comes out of the baptismal waters, it symbolizes the new birth that has happened in their lives from the inside, that happens at our heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. Can you say amen to that? I'm so glad my old life is gone. There's things I remember from my old life and there's things that I should remember because it makes me even more grateful today for the new life and the new birth that I am living now opposed to the person I used to be. It's important that we remember, but we remember that the fact that what changed? What changed was that Jesus came. And he died for my sin, and so that I can have new life. All of this in baptism, all these things are beautiful symbols to us when it comes to baptism. These candidates today, yes, they are going to get wet. They're going to go down into the water, and they're going to come out. And all of that symbolizes cleansing, death, and new life. That's what it represents. This is hose water in here, friends. It's warmed up. You said, uh-oh. I want you to know I got it up to 90 degrees. I learned in October, our last one, they said, how hot was that water? I said, I tried to get as warm as I could. It was like 78. They're like, oh no, it didn't feel like 78 to me. So anyway, that's just hose water in there, okay? There's nothing magical about that water. That's water that came out of a spigot. We filled it up. We warmed it up. There's nothing magical about that water. You know what's supernatural? This is what's supernatural. When a person believes in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, he comes into their lives, he forgives their sins, the sins that really carry a death penalty, that we cannot pay the price for ourselves. He comes into our lives by grace, you know, because we have faith in him, and then we have new life. We have hope of heaven. We are no longer separated with God the Father in heaven because of our sin. Jesus became that bridge that we so desperately needed. He was the solution to our sin problem. That's what's supernatural. So this is symbolic of something that's happened in the supernatural. It's important for us to understand that baptism doesn't make you a believer, all right? Baptism shows that you are a believer. Baptism doesn't save you. Baptism shows that you have been saved by the wonderful grace of God. That's what it shows. The only thing that can save us is faith in Christ. Baptism is an outward expression of an inner change that has taken place. It's going public saying, I belong to Jesus. I am no longer the person that I used to be, and I am a new creation in Christ. That's what we're here to celebrate today, and that's what we're going to be doing as we baptize these six candidates today. I'm going to invite the worship team to come out, and I'm going to ask us all to stand, and I'm going to dismiss our baptismal candidates so they can go get changed if they need to. But let's all stand together, would you? I'm going to pray. We're going to worship for just a moment, and then we're going to have our baptisms take place. So would you join me? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the privilege it is to be together today. We've gathered together because of your wonderful love and your grace that meets us here. I pray as we go through these next 30 minutes together, Lord, as we celebrate and as we look at how you transform lives, I pray, God, that we will see you on full display. May these testimonies that are shared, let that be the sermon of the morning. You are a God of love, of grace, and you meet us where we are. Thank you, God, for this time that we can worship you. And thank you for the privilege it is to celebrate new life, because you are the hope of the world. There is no other hope other than Jesus. That's what this world needs, and that's what we celebrate today. May we just worship you now in light of who you are. And we thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's worship the Lord together.
Sybil?
Yep. Okay. My foot could be slipping a bit.
Sorry about the confusion about your last name. That's my fault. Well, they both start with S, she says, so let's get a picture here, first of all. Private joke of why I got confused and then led confusion. So Sybil, introduce your people here that are here to witness your water baptism.
In person, I have my sweet husband, Joey. I don't know where he went. Where did he go? He's over there. And in prayer, I have my family in Hawaii, his family. And here I have all my new friends.
Yeah, new friends. I love it. Well, so Sybil and Joseph have been here about a month, a little over a month. How long have you been married?
About 2 months.
So they just moved from Hawaii to here, found our church, jumped right in, and we're just so blessed to have you being part of Rooted and being part of what's happening here and your heart for Jesus. So tell us a little bit about the story of how you came recently to find Jesus.
I always knew in my life that there was someone or something helping me through my challenges. And it wasn't until I saw the love in my now husband's family of their love of Jesus that I came to him, and I was never the same after I let Jesus into my heart.
Amen. So what do you want life to look like now as you follow Jesus?
Now in following Jesus, I just want to live more boldly for him. Just whatever path he has for me, I give him my trust and just want to live according to his will.
That is awesome. Thank you for sharing this morning and taking this step of faith. Yeah. Wait a minute. Yeah.
Would you stretch your hands this way? Let's pray for Sybil. Lord, even when Sybil wasn't aware of who you were by name, you were very aware of who she was. And Lord, she discovered who you were through the love of others, through people who were full of Jesus and were Jesus to Sybil. And because of that testimony, of that witness, she realized that she needed you in her life just as you were present in the lives of others. So Lord, this morning we just stretch our hands forward. We pray blessing over Sybil, Lord, and the future that she has in Christ. Lord, you have redirected her steps. You've brought blessing in her life through marriage. And now, Lord God, we just pray that you will use this couple for the glory of God. God, that they will have lives that speak of Jesus, that the words of their mouths and by their very actions, God, people will say, what is it in your life that's different? And they too can come to know the God that Sybil has accepted into her life. We just pray, Jesus, that this moment would again be a moment in her life that she will never forget. This public declaration, going public with faith, that she belongs to Jesus and now she walks in new life. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated here. So I'll ask you, Sybil, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I have.
And do you intend to follow him all the days of your life? Well, upon that confession of faith, it's my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. God bless you. Bless you.
God bless you so well. So good. So good. Careful stepping down here. Fixed.
You're good.
So good to share in the joy, isn't it? Tegan.
Gotcha.
It's my privilege to introduce Tegan Sauer. Would you point out your significant other in the audience today?
Yeah, my fiance Chandler and my mom and stepdad came to see me get baptized today.
Wave your hands back there.
Awesome. Well, they have been coming to Wenatchee First about 6 months, and your salvation experience is pretty recent, but there's also some really big news. I'm going to do a spoiler for Chandler here in a minute. When are you getting married?
Saturday.
So we were in conversations in my office on Wednesday, and we were going through just getting to know Tegan and Chandler, and they said, you know, we haven't been water baptized. We'd like to be water baptized before we get married. I said, yes! And so they filled out the paperwork, and you know, it's just so cool how God works. Conversations, and this was, Tegan, just share a little bit how you came to this decision, this faith in Jesus.
Originally, I was going to tell you a story about from when I was a kid, how I came to find Jesus. But more recently, I've been fighting a lot of battles, a lot of family problems, a lot of down, just getting beat down. But then I met my loving fiance who showed me who Jesus really is and what it looks like. He came from Mormon church, and so he showed me what it truly means to be a Christian as he continues our faith and we...
Awesome. Again, sort of like Sybil, you found out through Chandler what Jesus is all about. That is really cool. All right, so share a little bit. What do you think, what do you want your life to look like as you follow Jesus?
Whoever God's called me to be, let me be the woman he wants me to.
That is a common theme. That's so good. What Jesus wants in your life. Thank you for taking this step of faith this morning.
If you want to be seated right here, there you go. You're okay. Deegan, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? And you want to live for him the rest of your life, all the days of your life? Well, upon that confession of your faith, today we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Congratulations.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Be careful, don't slip. God bless you. So good. So happy to be a part of this.
Sorry.
You're okay. You're okay.
We're joking ahead of time. We're not doing it at the river today for a real reason. So Chandler, your fiance sort of stole your thunder. But is there, and introduce the people here in your life that you wanted to be here to witness this today.
Well, I have my longtime friend for a while, my best friend, and his father that drove all the way down here from Seattle to come up here just to watch me get baptized.
Awesome. So I told a little bit of the story already. tell a little bit of your story, how you came to find and follow Jesus, really turn it all over to him.
Well, most of my life I've known Jesus because I grew up Mormon and they had a really, you know, solid belief in it, but a lot of the things I didn't really believe in. And when I moved out and I was kind of on my own, I was more lukewarm. I never really fully gave everything to God. And I had a lot of times where I was sitting there smoking weed, and that kind of took me away from the feeling and the love of God. And when I finally took him serious and I laid it all at his feet and I told him, like, I just want a godly relationship, something that is serious. And before he gave me that, I had to take him serious.
How long ago was that?
That was like maybe 5-6 months ago, just a little bit before I met Jesus.
So a full surrender to Jesus. I mean, you believed in God, but now you're really following Jesus. Yeah. All right. So what do you want your life to look like as you follow Jesus?
I want people to know when they look at me that love lords me.
All right. Let people see Jesus in you, helping people find and follow Jesus. Awesome. Thank you for taking a step of faith this morning.
I'll ask you to have a seat right there. Would you join me in prayer? Let's pray for Chandler. Lord, thank you the way that you've directed his steps into this day. Lord, he was raised in a spiritual environment, but God, there was something more, and you've revealed what that more is, and that's the Jesus Christ that we serve and we love. I just pray, God, now as he makes this step of faith, this public declaration, Lord, as he's getting ready to be married on Saturday, Lord, that they got all these things will just point to the new future and the new way that you are taking this couple in. Lord, we pray blessing. We pray, God, every fulfillment of every good dream that you have for them, but God, that they would be a couple who have a united testimony of Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, and that you will just continue to help them to grow, to be more like you, Lord, and that you would be seen in their lives. And I thank you for this opportunity we have to baptize Chandler today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to ask you, Chandler, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And do you intend to follow him all the days of your life? With all your heart. That's how we do, all the way. So upon that confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
And I'm going to hand the microphone now over to Pastor Annie.
Okay, we got a special treat today. It's my friend Chloe's getting baptized.
Take a picture.
Awesome. So, Chloe, we've got quite a few family members here. Do you want to introduce your family?
I have my grandpa, my sister, my aunt, my mom, and his friend. And I have my grandma and my uncle.
That's awesome. So, Chloe, when did you make the decision to follow Jesus?
A few months ago.
And what does that mean for you? What does it mean to follow Jesus?
I just want to follow Jesus because I want to show everyone that I love him.
We gave, Chloe got to share with all the kids today in Kids Life why she wanted to get baptized. And she said she was ready to share with you guys too. So we thought, yeah, okay, we'll ask her the same questions. It's kind of exciting. So Chloe, why do you want to be baptized today?
I want to show everyone that I follow Jesus.
That's awesome. Can we give it up for Chloe? Can I pray with you? Awesome. Jesus, we just thank you for Chloe. God, we thank you for this decision that she's made to follow you, Jesus, the decision that she's made to give her life to you. God, we thank you just for her faith, Jesus, for, God, the childlike faith that you call all of us to have. God, we just pray you would be with Chloe, God, that your hand would be upon her life, Jesus, as she continues to grow into the woman of God that you've created her to be. Jesus, I pray that this decision would mark her for God, not just for now, Jesus, but this would be a marking decision that would influence the rest of her life, God. We thank you for the love that you have for Chloe and the salvation that you have for Chloe. God, and that kids like her, Jesus, that it's just she can show everyone else, God, that your salvation is for her too. Chloe, have you made the decision to follow Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life? And are you committed to following him for all the days of your life, every day, every week, every month, every year? All right. Based on your profession of faith, right, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
All right, let's give the Lord praise one more time. Come on, church. Let's stand to our feet. One more time, let's stand to our feet. Adam, the team, why don't you guys lead us in this song together? Come on.
Praise God, God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures. Sing it one more time. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son,
may you receive all the praise and the glory and the honor that's due your name, because this, what we watch today with our physical eyes, is the work of God among us. So we praise you for that. We praise you, God, that you reached down from heaven. You came to this earth to live a sinless life, to go to the cross, to die for our sins, to be raised, Lord, from the dead victoriously, so that way we can have new life with you, God. So, Lord, today is about the here and the now, and it's for the lives that we live here on earth. But one day you will come and you will receive us to yourself. And, Lord, we will be with you forever. So, Lord, this life that we live now, God, may we live it for the glory of God in all that we do. May you be honored, Lord, in us. May your kingdom come, your will be established in the life of every one of these candidates and also in us today. That is my prayer for these people. Love you, Lord. We thank you for this day of celebration. Now go with each one. May we celebrate the goodness of God in our lives every day going forward. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Everyone said, amen. 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 God bless you. Go in the goodness of God. We'll see you next Sunday. And thank you for being here today. Amen.